intrinsically much smaller. Vega looks brighter than Deneb for a good reason. It's fairly close to us, only about 25 light-years away. On the other hand, to our eyes, Deneb appears only slightly less luminous, yet it's 60 times farther than Vega, or 1,500 light-years away. That's about 90 million times farther than the Sun. Deneb is much more massive than our Sun, and it's much more luminous. If our Sun lay at Deneb's distance away, we'd need at least an 8-inch telescope to glimpse it at all. Deneb's constellation, Cygnus, is supposed to be a swan, and Deneb lies at the tail of the swan. The name Deneb actually means tail. There are other stars in the sky that incorporate this name. There's Denebola, the tail of the lion in Leo. And there's Deneb Algidi, the tail of the sea goat in the constellation Capricornus. Again, Deneb is the tail of the swan in the constellation Cygnus. This constellation's fairly easy to see because the stars make the shape of a cross, lying right along the Milky Way. This pattern in the constellation Cygnus is known as the Northern Cross, and it's overhead now each evening. Deneb is the brightest star at the northernmost end of the cross. Stardate and Stardate Magazine are produced by the MacDonald Observatory at the University of Texas. And for the MacDonald Observatory, I'm Joel Block.
And a very special thank you goes out to our listeners who turned up in force in several spontaneous rallies throughout Long Island to demand that Joel Block be returned to the airwaves. As you may recall, although I certainly don't have to tell people of Long Island, it's been all over the newspapers, Joel Block was not in last week. Deborah Byrd filled in for him, and of course, while she did an admirable job, obviously could not make up for Joel, who had been kidnapped by space aliens, so we're told. The telegrams have all been forwarded to Joel, which I think is what he wanted in the first place, and the demonstrations, we sent all the clippings about those to him. So, again, thank you very much for turning out, for saving Joel, and for bringing him back to our airwaves. Oh, yes. The program.
Agree to another debate? The answer is no. I am not going to have any more debates. We don't need any more debates. I've spelled out my position. There will be no more debates.
Madam Chairman, delegates to this convention, fellow citizens, America needs Barbara Bush as First Lady.
It's brain damage.
A society is great because of promises made by its government, not because of progress made by its people. I wondered why on earth John Adams said, facts are stubborn things.
I've spelled out my position.
It is the American people who endure the great challenge of national calamity. So,
I will not agree to another debate.
America is working again. Facts are stubborn things. Today, we have the first treaty in world history to eliminate an entire class of U.S. and Soviet liberal elites who loudly proclaimed that it's time for a change. Today, I'm proud to say that we have eliminated so many, and George was there.
any more debate.
Facts are stubborn things. We are the change. The top 5% of earners have been freed from paying any income tax at all. And millions of earners at the bottom of the scale are paying a higher percentage of the total tax revenue than they ever had before. That was our change.
The answer is no.
We rebuilt our armed forces. We liberated Libyan terrorists.
I am not going to have any more debates.
Now I think we can be forgiven. I have to confess I wasn't actually there. And my fellow citizens, the road has been glorious indeed. Eight years ago, we met at a time when America was an economic promise. And today we meet in a time of economic chaos, despair, hopelessness. Facts are stupid, I should say.
There will be no more debate.
And that's one promise I think he's kept. 8 minutes after 10 o'clock. Good evening. The program is... Brain damage, yes. Okay, I'll get it right. Eric Corley with you until midnight or with somebody. I don't know who I'm with. I'm with it. You know, I'm here somewhere. It's a big studio. We sometimes get lost. 8 minutes after... I said that already. 8 minutes after 10 o'clock. But for those of you who may have just tuned in, it's beneficial to repeat things every few seconds. Temperature, yes, okay. Temperature is 18 degrees Celsius, and that's 64 on the Fahrenheit scale. You know, we used to get the weather all the time, and now we just don't get it anymore. Oh, well. Well, I was outside a little while ago. It's kind of, it's cooler than it was in the daytime, and looks like maybe it'll rain or something like that. That's about it. Maybe a tornado or two. Who knows? Did you have a tornado this week? I missed them. I was inside, and I didn't even find out about it till I read the paper the next day. Nothing like, feeling like you're in the midst of things. This is a call-in program. We accept telephone calls from people. We don't accept collect calls, although you can try. I mean, you have my okay to go ahead and try to make a collect call to us. It doesn't work. For some reason, you're not allowed to make collect calls to anywhere on campus. I guess it's a smart move on the campus's part, because we certainly wouldn't pay for any collect calls that we did accept, which is probably illegal. We of course, have the Moscow mailbag sitting by, waiting to be played out over our airwaves. But our telephone number is 632-6901 if you want to call in and reserve a place online, which in recent weeks hasn't really been all that hard to do. I guess most of our listeners are away someplace or just maybe not listening to radios anymore. I don't know. After Moscow mailbag, we're going to take some calls, and there'll be questions asked on what is discussed on Moscow Mailbag. I mean, we're going to listen to it, and we're going to analyze every little bit. And if you believe that, stay tuned. I've got some more stories for you.
This is your program, Moscow Mailbag. And once again, here's Joe Adamoff to answer your questions. David Helenius of Fayetteville, Massachusetts. Does the USSR have horse racing?
Well, it certainly does, and this may surprise you, but we have over 100 racetracks up and down the country. And there is betting. We have totalizers. We have trotting races, flat races with drivers in sulkies, you know, with bicycle-type wheels. We go in for the steeplechase. We compete in horsemanship. I think it's dressage that it's called. If you go down into the republics, you'll find various ethnic types of equestrian sports. We have national competitions of rural horsemen, but no rodeos, you know. Although, if you take our circus performers, well, they'll show some fantastic skills in horsemanship. And at regular auctions, our stud farms sell horses to buyers from many countries. Some, incidentally, fetch very, very high prices. And even our women take part in such difficult events as the steeplechase. And we've had Olympic champions in horsemanship.
A question from Richard Dixon of Goshen, Ohio. How many candidates usually run for a given office?
Well, you see, during the last elections to the Congress of People's Deputies, it differed with various precincts. In places where there was only one candidate, as often as not, he was crossed out, in other words, blackballed. This was a form of protest for there being no choice. The so-called apparatus, or our bureaucracy, often managed to manipulate things so the candidates they wanted would remain on the ballot. But despite all this, there were usually two or three candidates on the ballot. Yeltsin, for instance, won a landslide victory. He got almost 90% of the people to vote for him. He got something like 5 million votes in Moscow. He was opposed by one other candidate. Practice showed that where there were many candidates, that is, very many candidates, like 10, 15, or 20, none got the necessary 50% of the votes, and runoff elections had to be held. But, for instance, in Leningrad, Ivanov, a criminal investigator, who today is not in favor with the powers that be and with the media, beat all 27 candidates on the ballot and got more than 50% of the votes.
Gary Bybee of Income, Idaho, are all adult women required to be employed outside the home?
No, not all adult women are employed. If a woman is married, she's not required to work. In other words, if she's a housewife. Though, of course, many women do work, because if they work, you understand, this is a substantial addition to the family budget. Some women prefer to work because they want to be among people. They want to be useful to society. But we do have, you know, a ramified network of child care centers, and the cost of keeping a child in a nursery school is negligible. But I'm afraid there are not enough nursery schools and kindergartens. At the recent Congress, I've spoken about it already, proposals to let women have a 3-year paid leave after the birth of a child got enthusiastic applause and support, and I feel that this law will be passed.
Bart de Velde of Groningen, the Netherlands, says, I like Mr. Gorbachev. He is dynamic, unprejudiced, intelligent, and has ideals. But tell me something about his wife, Raisa.
Well, I'll tell you what some of the foreign media says, or rather say. London Times, a sophisticated auburn-haired woman. Her charm and elegance symbolize the image of Russia. Haute couture, a smattering of foreign languages, and cocktail party poise. Raisa is a glamorous grandmother, wrote the London Times. Newsweek wrote, socialist chic, in beige coat and scarf. She's fashionably coiffed and cloaked, has a philosophy degree from the prestigious Moscow University, a taste for fine arts. She's an intellect without the defects of most intellects. She is not arrogant. And here let me add that she was born in Siberia in the city of Rubtsovsk in the Altai region. Her parents worked on the railroads. She finished school with a gold medal and then graduated the Department of Philosophy of Moscow University. Mikhail Gorbachev met Raisa at the university in 1951, and 2 years later they were married. Raisa taught philosophy and worked with students for about 20 years. They have a daughter, Irina, who has a degree in medicine. Their son-in-law is a surgeon, and he too has a degree in medicine and works at one of Moscow's city hospitals. The Gorbachevs have 2 grandchildren, Ksenia and Anastasia. And Raisa at present does very much public work.
Robert Wills of Clearwater, Florida. Did Russian women actually engage in combat against the Nazis during the war?
You know, over a million Soviet women were in the armed forces during the last war. Most of them served in the medical corps, in anti-aircraft artillery. We have a woman in our department here at Radio Moscow who served in the searchlight unit. She is now retired. And another woman, also here at Radio Moscow, flew in the Air Force and was awarded one of the top awards. And we in our external service have a former woman sniper. What do you know about that? A Soviet woman guerrilla fighter blew up the Gauleiter of Belarus. I say blew up because she placed a mine in his bed. I've told this story before, the one I'm going to tell you now, but I think it's worth repeating. One downed Nazi fighter ace wanted to see the man who'd shot him down out of the skies. And what was his surprise when a young girl in uniform walked into the room? Some of our nurses, who saved no end of lives by hauling the wounded from under fire to safety, have merited the Florence Nightingale Award. And we here also at Radio Moscow had a former nurse who lost her leg during the war under fire.
Robert also wants to know, did any of the women get your country's highest award for valor, and what's the award called?
Our highest award is the title Hero of the Soviet Union. In the States, it's the Congressional Medal of Honor. In Britain, or the United Kingdom rather, it's the Victoria Cross. 86 Soviet women were awarded the title of Hero of the Soviet Union during the last war.
Hal Flynn, Prairie Village, Norfolk, Kansas. Does the Soviet Union honor Yuri Gagarin?
Why, certainly. I think he may rightly be called the Columbus of space, and I have no doubt that his name will be remembered throughout the ages. We have Gagarin museums, the home in which he lived as a boy is a museum. I understand also that at the Smithsonian Institute, at the Aeronautics and Space Museum, there's an exhibit devoted to Gagarin. Books have been written about him, songs have been written, films made. Here in Moscow, on Gagarin Square, there's a very tall metal, well, I don't know what to call it, column, I suppose, topped by a statue of Gagarin. Very impressive thing. And in Star City, where we train our cosmonauts, there's a monument to him where all new cosmonauts lay flowers.
Alan Cantor of Rochester, New York, wants to know, how do you purchase an automobile in the Soviet Union, and must you wait long to receive one?
I'm afraid it's very difficult to buy a car nowadays. People wait for several years and get it usually through their place of work. You know, after driving my last Volga for 17 years, I sold it officially through a government so-called commission store at only 7% less than its original price. What do you know about that? I changed the fenders 3 times. I changed all 4 doors, the back fenders and what have you. And I got the new car through our Radio Trade Union Committee. The new Volga that I have now cost something like $27,000. To show you what a demand there is for cars, let me tell you that I've been offered almost 3 times that price for my car, but that's the black market and it's illegal. You know, statistics tell us that 3 million cars could be sold overnight if they were available.
Ian Van Groningen of St. Catharines, Ontario, sometimes back, asked him to tell about the Soviet republics. Joe, you've already told him about Armenia and Georgia. Today, Uzbekistan is in the news.
Well, what can I say about Uzbekistan? It's down in Central Asia, Soviet Central Asia. It's roughly east of the Caspian Sea. Population, 19 million. About 70% of the people there are Uzbeks. The capital is Tashkent, with a population of over 2 million. In summer, the temperature can rise to about 115 degrees Fahrenheit, and it can drop to minus 4 degrees Fahrenheit in January. Typical continental climate. Two-thirds of the territory is desert or semi-desert, with oases and mountains with valleys. Uzbekistan extracts gold of the very highest quality. It has a developed industry, machine building, chemical industry, textile. It produces cotton picking combines. Speaking of cotton picking combines, its main crop, you realize, is cotton. And at the recent Congress, the conditions of the cotton farmers came in for scathing criticism. Long hours, small pay, the influence of chemical fertilizers and what have you. Uzbek scientists have designed earthquake-proof high-rise buildings, which together with the Tashkent subway have survived more than 20 earthquakes. The Republic has 3 universities and 40 colleges. It has an Institute of Manuscripts that has a collection of more than 10,000 ancient books. Books that have been collected over the past 2,000 years. Their theaters stage about 150 new plays by Uzbek playwrights every year. And, of course, the Republic is known for its very beautiful architectural monuments, its Muslim mosques, the medrasa, or the religious schools, the mausoleums in such cities as Samarkand and Bukhara. If you ever come to the Soviet Union, don't fail to go there.
Now, Joe, I think it's the time for your political folklore.
Okay. You know, the Armenian radio at one time was supposed to be the source of many jokes, but actually it wasn't. Well, here goes. The Armenian radio was asked, is there a way out of hopeless situations? And the Armenian radio answered, we don't answer questions on agriculture.
That was Joe Adamov answering your questions on Moscow Mailbag. Address your letters to Radio Moscow, Moscow, the USSR. You couldn't do better than write us that letter. Your comments on the show are always welcome. Now, just a reminder that Mailbag is on the air every Saturday, Sunday, and Wednesday on the East Coast at 2410 and 0210 UTC, and on the West Coast at 0510 and 0710 UTC. In the 19, 25, 31, and 41 meter bands.
Enough of that. Must be the sound of Hollywood knocking, looking for Joe Adamoff and his terrific political humor there. Well, Moscow Mailbag can be heard, in addition to all those frequencies that the nice lady just gave us, can be heard every Saturday night at about this time. Well, actually, the end of it can be heard about this time, the beginning about 15 minutes earlier. Our phone number is 632-6901. If you want to be on the radio right now, give us a call, and we'll answer the phone and put you on the actual airwaves of WUSB in Stony Brook. Program is Brain Damage, Eric Corley with you until midnight, at which time Brother Nick will take over and do something shocking and obscene. But that's what we pay him for. Yes. 19 degrees Celsius went up a degree, didn't it? Yeah, now it's 66 on the Fahrenheit scale. Oh, it's so exciting. You just can't keep up with the things around here. 632-6901. Good evening.
Hey, Eric.
Yeah?
Hi, it's Adam.
Hello.
Hi, I have a couple of comments about the recordings you had in the air here.
Yeah, okay. About Radio Moscow, you mean?
Not just that. First of all, you know when
I said I was going to ask questions, and I intend to.
Yeah, I know. You know when you opened your, you know, you started the show, right? You play that recording.
What recording?
That
wasn't a recording. That was me.
I know, no.
Shouldn't have had to insult somebody.
With, you know, George Bush and Ronald Reagan.
Oh, that, yes, okay.
Yeah, I was wondering why you went around and changed what they said.
You're accusing me of changing
what
the President of the United States
order.
Said? Well, I mean, we have to edit some things just to make it fit. We can't, you know, broadcast everything they say. We have to cut certain sentences and words.
Yeah, Eric. But it ends up...
The way you're saying this implies that there's some sort of maliciousness intended, and I don't know. Those words can land you in places you don't want to be. Consider that a warning.
I don't know, but I don't know. I just wanted you to know that I didn't like that, and there are probably other people who didn't. Not that you can't, you know, keep it on there. I mean, it's fine if you want to keep it on, because, you know, I have no right to stop you. I just, you know that I don't approve of it.
Oh, you're darn right. You have no right to stop me. And once again, I can keep playing it as much as I want. I can play it for 2 hours.
Is no.
Yeah.
I am not going to have any more debate.
I like the sound of it.
We don't need any more debates.
Well, I'd like to hear from all those other people that are out there that object to this, you know?
Okay, everybody.
You say there's lots of people out there. Let's hear from them. I also want to hear from people that don't object to it.
Okay. But, and then the Radio Moscow thing.
I'm sorry?
Radio Moscow thing.
Yes, go ahead.
I thought that was funny about what they said about getting cars in Russia.
Yeah.
God. The guy had his car for 17 years, and he replaced pretty much the whole thing.
Yeah, that's not uncommon.
So you'd probably be better off if you just went and, like, tried to get replacement parts instead of buying a car.
Yeah, ingenuity like that tends to pay off sometimes.
And putting one together by yourself, I think it would probably be a lot better.
Uh-huh. Any other comments on all that?
I mean, they have, the guy I was talking about, they have all these things in Russia, like these stupid horse races and stuff. But how many skate parks do they have in Russia? We don't have any on Long Island either, but, you know, that just shows you how bad Long Island is.
Well, yeah, Long Island isn't a country either, but I see the comparison. Now, you know, by the way, nobody's calling, so I don't think anybody else objected.
Well, all right.
I don't think anybody else is listening.
If you approve, I guess, call now. I don't know. I don't care. Because...
If you don't care, give us a call. that'll light them up, won't it?
Yeah. Let's see. If you're not listening to the show now, then call. That's an interesting one.
I don't know how to interpret that. Anything else on your mind?
Let's see. Yeah. You know the guy who got shot when he was flying his airplane?
Yeah, that's kind of a weird story, isn't it?
I can't... Think about that a second. How did he get shot?
Well, you know, let's look at the story here. The guy is flying in an airplane, all right, from Virginia to he ended up in the Bahamas, right? He's flying in a plane by himself. Now, the question is, how did he get shot while he was going on that flight? Now, he is the only person on the airplane. There aren't very many other people around in the sky when you're flying an airplane, and he had a gun. Now, I don't want to hurl accusations or anything like that, but for God's sake, people, I mean, the evidence, unless there's some sort of extraterrestrial involvement here, seems to be that he shot himself.
I have to go, okay?
Yeah, I'm sorry if I shocked you.
It's all right.
All right.
Okay, bye.
I just have to say it's on my mind sometimes. Often that makes people run away, but it has to be said, you know? I didn't even want to talk about that. Now I'm stuck talking about it. Manipulative listeners, here's what I want to talk about. Letter in the paper today about, do you remember Myanmar? Yeah, the brand new name for Burma. A few weeks ago we spent quite some time on this, and we're going to spend a little bit of, maybe just a couple of minutes on it. Myanmar and the River of Time. Seems there was an editorial in the paper on June 25th, which I missed, but I caught the letter about it. Myanmar and the River of Time provided an interesting commentary on the change of Burma's official name to Myanmar. Seems name changing has a long history. In the 20th century alone, this is a book I have to get, or a guide, or whatever it is, according to Place Name Changes Since 1900. That's the name of it, Place Name Changes Since 1900. If anyone feels particularly benevolent, go and get me a copy of that somehow. I'll be forever in your debt. According to that, there have been more than 2,000 changes in place names. The Soviet Union alone changed some 1,000 place names in the first flush of the revolution. Among smaller nations, Abyssinia has become Ethiopia, Siam became Thailand, and Persia became Iran. Obviously, sovereign nations have the right to call themselves by whatever names they choose. But there is no reason why such name changes should be considered binding on English speakers. Standard English usage does not follow official usage for Egypt, which is officially called Niger, M-I-S-R? Interesting. India is officially called Bharat, B-H-A-R-A-T. Japan is officially called Nippon, N-I-P-P-O-N. And Germany is referred to as Deutschland. Now, in these cases, standard usage takes precedence over official prescriptions. So why not for Upper Volta or Burma? Similarly, the English language names of a number of cities are different from the official or native ones. Thus, we prefer Moscow to Moskva, Rome to Roma, and Munich to München. Name changes impose a great and unnecessary burden on mapmakers, those poor beleaguered mapmakers. Also on geographers, editors of reference books, and the rest of us who have enough problems with geography as it is, especially us Americans. Although we cannot stop dictators and rulers from changing the names of their countries, there is no need to follow their dictates blindly and certainly no benefit in doing so. I believe the news media should continue to use the standard English names for all countries and cities. Fortunately, name changers have been foiled in recent years. Thus, Cape Canaveral went back to its real name after having been Cape Kennedy. That's a real good example there. Cambodia is still Cambodia in popular usage simply because the State Department refused to kowtow to Phnom Penh when they changed the name to Kampuchea. Recently, the Ivory Coast announced that it should be called only by its French name, Côte d'Ivoire, but soon found that English speakers did not accept such a change. Sometimes, natural nemesis overtakes name changes. Name changes fostered by dictators have very short lives. Only months before they were ousted, Idi Amin changed the name of Lake George to Lake Amin. Lake George in New York. How did he do that? Amazing. Matias Biyogo changed the name of the island of Fernando Po to his own name. And Emperor Bokassa changed the name of the Central African Republic to the Central African Empire. Even Stalin's memorials in the Soviet Union have been expunged. Simple prudence requires that we wait at least a century before we accept place name changes imposed by dictators. The lesson? Burma will always be Burma. And that letter was written by George Kurian. He's the editor of the Encyclopedia of the Third World. Now, I believe that's a town somewhere on Long Island that changed its name recently. And I don't know if it was done by a dictator, but if it was, I agree we should wait at least a century before we adopt that name. 632-6901. Good evening.
Nigger.
You see, everybody else in the entire world, everybody who has ever lived, everybody who ever will live, and everybody that isn't even human, all has something precious to thank God for. And that is that we can wake up and know that we're not that person. 632-6901. I'll pick up when we get a few calls so I can hop down the line if I need to. 10:34 is the time. Saturday night. Beautiful Saturday night out there. No fireworks in Holbrook. They canceled them because they didn't have licenses or something like that. Who needs fireworks anyway? There's no need for that kind of thing. 632-6901. That is our phone number. We have two calls on the line. If I get three, I will be very happy and I will pick up the phone. I think that's fair. Otherwise, I'm going to read a really boring article here, and it's long. I picked it out special. It's real long, and it's real boring. Okay, that lit it up. That lit it up good. Okay. I'm going to carry this article around with me in future weeks, though. It's a good thing to have. Good evening.
Hey, Eric.
Yeah?
Yeah.
You again? Wait a minute. No, you can't call twice.
No, but I had to hang up the first time.
Well, I got to put you on hold this time because I want to get to this person. Good evening.
Hey, what's up?
Hey, how you doing?
I'm doing all right. I was listening to you in the car on the way home, and I don't know, is this open? Can I talk about anything?
I'm kind of hesitant as to what you might mean by that.
Anything within reason?
Well, there may be children listening, so just anything that you won't mind children hearing.
No. You were talking about dictators before, so I wanted to ask you what You know, like, what's the deal with Mario Cuomo? Why won't he let any of these schools go, you know, any of these guys, SUNY guys, go Division I?
Has he gone on record as saying he doesn't want to do that?
Well, he's the governor, and it's his state board of regents, right?
I guess so, but, you know, it's things like abortion and flag burning I've been hearing about. I guess they've just totally buried the Division I thing. I haven't really heard about that.
It just seems to me that, you know, people have a hard time. Yeah, I'm from New York originally, but, you know, my friends from outside the state have a hard time telling all the SUNYs apart. And, I mean, I think SUNY Stony Brook should be known for something other than, like, you know, being a research center for, you know, Lyme disease ticks.
Uh-huh.
So, I think it'd be great if you guys in Binghamton and Albany and, say, Buffalo all went Division I.
Oh, yeah, but it'd be also nice if we were Division I in education, too, you know?
Yeah, well, I mean,
as long as we're
Division
at it.
Division I in education and sports. I mean, look at Michigan. I mean, that's a great school, in Cal Berkeley.
Uh-huh.
I just don't see any reason why, you know, we can't have the best of both worlds.
Okay, but they're building a new gym, you know? They're building a huge gym. It's the only thing they're building on campus. They're supposed to build a liberal arts tower. They never did that. They're building a gym instead.
Yeah.
You know, so I think athletics are getting somewhere. And, you know, there's a lot more business on campus than there was a few years ago.
Yeah, well, but I mean, you know, you could make the money from the sports itself. Yeah, I mean, the New York metro area, I mean, only has pretty much one Division I football team, and that's Rutgers. Man, who wants to watch them?
Uh-huh.
Fine hole of a town it's in. And it's a lousy football team. I think Stony Brook, if they had a Division I team, they'd do all right. People pack the place, and I'm sure you guys could get on national TV and kick some other teams' butt.
Well, I guess so, yeah. You know, but I went down to Clemson a couple of years ago, and in the middle of that campus is this big 80,000-seat football stadium.
Yeah.
In the middle of campus, you know, this kind of, it sort of alters the whole shape of the place, you know.
Yeah.
It revolves around football. There's football dormitories. There's a football section of the cafeteria. People are scared to watch the football players practice because
well,
they think they might be accused of spying.
Kind of like, I don't know, like maybe one of like the Ivy League schools. You know, you could have your sports and but treat the football players, you know, like students rather than demigods like you do in the Southeastern Conference.
Uh huh.
But I really think that Stony Brook ought to go Division I, and I don't see any reason why, you know. They could not give out football scholarships, but still expect these guys to live like, you know, like other students.
Yeah, I have nothing against that, but still, I'd like to see some biology scholarships too, you know?
Oh, yeah, I can't list the science graduate students, so I definitely, believe me, I know what it's like to want to have scholarships and money for those of us starving graduate students. Do you hear me, Governor? Anyway, thank you very much.
Okay.
Good talking to you, and you know, I'll be listening to the rest of the show. How late do you want? How many nights a week do you want? This is the first time I've heard you.
We're on until midnight tonight.
Okay, and you on every night?
Every Saturday night.
All right. Well, I'll be listening for you.
Where are you calling from?
All right. Take care.
Where are you calling from?
What's that?
Where are you calling from?
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm calling from Port Jeff.
Port Jeff. Okay. Well.
Thanks a lot.
Be good. 632-6901. Good evening.
Shithead.
Good evening.
Hi, Eric.
Yeah?
Yes, it's me again.
Go ahead.
All right, yeah. Listen, it's about the Russia thing, right? That was on. Where did you record it from?
It was sent directly to us.
Sent directly to you?
Yeah, that's right.
Okay, and... I don't know, it seems like it's a lot different than things that Russia's done in the past. Maybe because in this state, they've actually said things that are wrong there.
They've been doing that for a while now. For at least a couple of years, they've been doing that.
Well, I haven't been listening to it for a couple of years, but pretty much everything else they've done until lately is, you know, well, we're perfect and you're not. And, of course, we all know the truth.
Well, take a look at what we say, too, and I think you'll find we say that a lot as well.
Yeah, but we're right.
Yeah, you just proved my point for me.
No.
I'm going to go on to another call. Good evening.
Hello?
Yeah?
Oh, wait a minute. Plunge into the depths of despair! Rubber arms couldn't hold him. An army of psychiatrists couldn't psychoanalyze him. It's the all-time favorite, Big Jim Doomsayer.
And it sounds like you're on a street somewhere.
I had to do it, Eric, because the ratings are going down.
Well, good. I'm glad you did. But where are you?
I'm on my way back from cruising around over there on 231. The cops are pulling everybody over tonight, so I'm hightailing out of there.
The cops are pulling everybody over in 231? What is it, a drug raid or something?
No, out down there.
Oh.
I had to do my bit. Your ratings are slipping. What's going on here? Nobody's calling. Nobody's... Mr. Radio is lost.
I don't know. We were sending out the checks on time, but people
just
aren't.
Hey, I have 10 cents credit towards overtime.
that's great.
I have something interesting to say today.
Go ahead.
I have. Remember, I've been fixing the air conditioner
for a couple of years now, right?
Yeah. Well, I'm still since last week.
Okay.
So I went to go get parts for it. They're no longer available. The thing of it is, I just have something. This is ironic. You see, the thing is, it's old. But the thing is, I need parts for an old air conditioner because an old air conditioner breaks. I don't need parts for a new one. They only have parts for new ones.
That's a good point.
So that's ironic to me. I don't get it.
Somebody
out there can figure it out.
They only have parts for new air conditioners.
Yeah, right? I couldn't get the part because mine's old. But it's old. It worn out. I need a new part. I can't get it.
What happens if you bring the air conditioner in and ask them to fix it? What do they do?
They'll tell me the parts are no longer available.
And they can't fix it at all.
Right. Well, I can fix this stuff myself because, I used to do that stuff back in my Navy days.
Maybe you should go to a third world country where we're unloading all the old air conditioners.
That sounds like a pretty good idea,
And maybe they'll have the parts there.
Hey, I missed a little bit of your program there. What's going on with the George Bush? All I heard was something about there will be no more debates. Didn't like that.
I gave him some extra airtime, and apparently it's not good enough for some people. I don't know.
I like that when he says there will be no more debates.
I do, too. Like I said, it's the one campaign promise he's lived up to.
We got to talk about entropy or something tonight. What's going on here? I can't think of anything depressing to talk about tonight. It's just not like me.
You can't think of anything depressing?
Well, I usually talk about, big problems, but
yeah.
I can't think of anything. Oh, I'll tell you what's a big problem. They're closing Shoreham down. That's terrible.
Hey, they started unloading the fuel rods today. Isn't
that's sick. I can't believe it. This country is full of narrow-minded consumers. Everybody wants their toaster and their TV, and they want to listen to USB, but they want to get their electricity from fossil fuels. Disgusting.
I haven't seen them all say they want to listen to USB, but taking out the fuel rods, I think, is a historic step. It's the first time that a nuclear plant has ever been shut down before it opened. Offering the fuel rods as souvenirs for people who are interested in them.
Until fossil fuels really, really start getting expensive and stuff, then you'll say, oh, wow, we shut down Shoreham. What a dumb mistake. Oh, no, now what are we going to do? That's what you'll see.
I think if we continue just to use fossil fuels, that's exactly what will happen. But hopefully we'll try to develop something.
Yeah, that sounds good.
Because, technology is moving in just about every other aspect.
Well,
I like the idea of
solar panels and stuff, but it's just taking too long.
Why is it taking too long? It's because,
people want to develop
these other things.
Expensive. I'll tell you. I know. I work in electronics, and I see the prices of these things, and they're expensive.
Uh-huh.
A lot of money. They're hard to make. What are you going to do? I like them, though. That's a great idea. Use the solar energy. What else am I going to talk about tonight? This is bad. I got to... we got to get Robin's Island. We didn't get that yet.
We're so close.
We're so close yet so far. Mr. Radio, will you please call up? I haven't heard any insane phone calls on this station in a long time. This is brain damage, and we need brain damaged people to call. You hear me out there?
Well,
yeah, I had to say that.
Interesting brain damaged people.
We're not getting any. We're getting straight people. We're getting people with a clear head calling. I don't want to hear that. I want to hear insane conversation on this program.
Yeah, there's a lot of messed up people out there. Where are you all?
Yeah, I want them to start calling now. I'm going to hang up. I'm on my way home. I want to laugh. I want to hear some stuff.
Okay, make them swerve off the road with incredible things that are going to go on.
Yeah, all right, I'll see you.
Okay, thanks for calling. 632-6901, area code 516, if you're in Connecticut, but... we don't often hear from people in Connecticut. We don't know why that is. Okay, you want something scary? I'll show you something scary. Margaret Thatcher, huh? How's that? Shook you up a bit. If you've been looking at the paper last couple of days, there's this guy that's been writing these nasty articles about Margaret Thatcher. It's incredible. Listen to this. Fortunately for appearances, all the participants in the economic summit over in Paris... the United States, France, Italy, Canada, Japan, West Germany, and Britain are democracies, unless, of course, you consider that Margaret Thatcher struts and preens and rules British parliamentary politics with a monarchical, that's another word I can't say, monarchical intolerance, more totalitarian than the unfortunate, ineffectual Louis XVI ever practiced in pre-revolutionary France. Now, that's fighting words as far as I'm concerned, but nothing compared to what he said today. Thatcher's opportunity to offend. Nothing compared to what she said. This is amazing. Madame Margaret Thatcher, to the boos and hisses of Parisians enraged at her disparagement of what they regard to be the greatest political event in world history. L'affaire Thatcher would be one of the more comical events in the annals of European diplomacy if it didn't threaten to overshadow a serious economic summit that is coinciding with exquisitely elaborate commemorations of the 200th anniversary of the storming of a French jail. Thatcher, never to be amiable when she can possibly be otherwise, went and gave interviews to Le Monde, the French newspaper, and to the French state television network, in which she said, and this is the good part, that Magna Carta, not the French Revolution, represented the birth of the rights of man, and that the revolution was a disgusting event that merely led to the later rise of communism. I mean, you know, that might be her opinion. Okay, you know, I'm not going to say it's a wrong opinion, but think about where she was when she said it. She's in France at the 200th anniversary of the revolution, and boy, I don't know. You know, that's really that's something to say when you're over there. The guy who wrote the column, Robert Reno, goes on to say this was a dreadful thing for her to say, if only because it was so wantonly tactless and inappropriately timed, like waiting until you're a guest in someone's living room to trim your toenails. But historically, it is rubbish, too. The Magna Carta merely strengthened the authority of the English aristocracy and made it more difficult.
It took the Union Jack and Maggie over lunch one day, took a cruiser with old hands, apparently to make him give it back. They call you overgrown infant, way somewhere, and build them a home, a little place of their own.
Thank you.
disembarked in 45. And no one spoke and no one smiled. There were too many spaces in the line. Agreed with hand on heart to sheathe the sacrificial knife. But now she stands upon Southampton Dock with her handkerchief and her summer frock clings to her wet body in the rain. Quiet desperation, knuckles white upon the slippery reins. She bravely waves the boys goodbye again.
Sally is slowly to rolling stone.
carefully pack it.
Not that I want to interrupt Mr. Gilmore as he plays his guitar there, but I didn't mean to play this much music. I mean, it's nice and all that, but I just meant to play one little song, and it all kind of segs into each other. I'm sorry for that. So before they start singing again, I'm going to try to fade this down completely and ask our listeners to call us at 632-6901. That's right, area code 516-632-6901. Nope. No more. 632-6901. That was Pink Floyd from what many consider to be their last album, and what I consider to be not even one of their albums, because it just doesn't sound like Pink Floyd anymore, you know? Not really. It's, I don't know. The Wall was their last album, as far as I'm concerned. But that's neither here nor there. We heard... What did we hear? We heard Get Your Filthy Hands Off My Desert. We heard the Fletcher Memorial Home, Southampton Dock, and that was the title track, The Final Cut. Now, we're going to take phone calls at 632-6901, and we can either talk about anything we want, or we can answer a trivia question, okay? And the trivia question follows immediately. Basically, the question is this. So I want to see how technically adept people are in 1989. I want to know if the average person, not saying that our listeners are average people, which many of them can never hope to be, simply what are these sounds that you may hear at any time when you pick up a phone and dial a certain number, okay? The first sound is this. Oh, that's a ring. But what's the noise that follows the ring? Do you know what that is? That sound has never been heard over the airwaves before. What is it? Okay, I think we've gotten the point across on that one. And the second part of the question is, what is this sound that immediately follows the ring? Now, if you said sound exactly the same to me, then you are technically illiterate for 1989. But don't despair, because many, many, many people don't know what those sounds mean, even though there are sounds that exist around you every single minute of your life, and you may very well come across one of them when you least expect it. So if you know what those two sounds were, please call us, 632-6901. Tell us what the first one was, tell us what the second one was, and prove that you are technically adept, or you know what's going on out there. 632-6901. Good evening.
Hey, Eric, what's up? Tommy Chong, remember me?
No, I don't think so. No offense, but who are you?
Tommy Chong.
Tommy Chong.
What? Remember, way back when, around Christmas time.
Around Christmas time. Let's see. Did this involve a bank robbery?
No.
Because I don't know anything about that.
A Chinese restaurant robbery.
No, I don't know anything about that either. No. I don't. I said it before. This is my story, and I'm sticking to it. I was not even around there.
Oh, okay. Oh, well, anyway, to get back to these tones here.
Yeah, get back to those tones there.
The first one, that sounded like when you call, like, a 1-800 number that's wrong, and you get, like, these, you hear that, and then they the operator, or, I don't know, some recording comes on, it says T-minus 32 or something.
No.
You never heard that?
Oh, I've heard that. They're not saying T-minus 32. That's pretty funny, though.
That, is, am I right?
No, that's, I think you're talking about doo-doo-doo, right?
No, it's
no?
different.
Different than that?
Yeah, it sounds, I don't know, I get these one. I just sit at a payphone one day and just dial these 1-800 numbers that... You know,
well, that's good. That's called 800 scanning, but that's not what the noise is. But I'd like to hear the noise you're talking about. People think I sound silly when I say doo doo doo, but there's no technical term
about.
For that. Everybody in the phone company refers to it as doo doo doos too. They've never made up a word for that noise.
Yeah, I know exactly what you're talking about.
All right.
That doo doo doo.
Right. Don't be ashamed to say it because everybody says that.
Yeah.
Everybody knows what that means. You know, in fact. If I can remember the number, there was a number in Greenland, of all places. I'm not kidding. In Greenland, that has that same tone, except they don't have a message. They just repeat the tone over and over again.
That's weird.
I'm going to try to find that number now, in fact. But no, you are incorrect. That is not the the number. I mean, that's not the noise. Yeah, want to give a second guess or anything?
Let me see. Well, that third noise, you know, that click, could that be when the line gets opened,
uh-huh.
You know what I'm saying? Like, when the line, you know, it's just a current going through it, you know, it just breaks, and then somebody picks up the phone.
Well, that certainly was an impressive try, but no, that's not even close.
Not even technically, right?
No.
It's close.
Current being passed down, I don't even know what you mean.
You don't know what all right. Think of it this way, okay?
Yeah.
Well, I'm not saying around here, but you ever go to these, like, rural areas where they have, like, party lines on the phones?
Yeah.
Like, there's more than one line connected.
Right.
There's, like, two houses to one phone line.
Right.
You ever hear that?
You can even get that around here. It's in the phone
book. Right. But, no, upstate. And you can't, like, use the phone when somebody else is on it. You know what I'm talking about?
Right.
Right? You know, you pick up the phone and they're like, get off the phone.
Right.
Right? Okay. Well, if both those lines were blank, okay?
Uh-huh.
And there's somebody's trying to call. There's a current going through that, right? Am I correct?
If somebody's trying to call, they're
right.
Sending a ring pulse down the line.
Right.
Okay.
The ring pulse. And when you pick up the phone, the ring pulse gets broken.
Oh, that noise sounds sort of like a ring pulse before it gets picked up.
Right. And
oh,
then
okay.
When you get a click, that means the ring pulse is gone.
I understand.
I know it's wrong.
Yeah, it's still completely wrong, but yeah, it's an interesting point you brought up.
It is very interesting.
You can hear that noise very clearly if you get one of those suction cups. And you attach it to your phone and you start the tape recorder as the phone is ringing. You'll hear a really interesting noise.
What, is that where you got your recording from?
No, not at all. Because that's not what this is.
It's live?
Well, yeah, I just called those numbers now and I'll be happy to reveal what they are. But I hope somebody else can reveal what they are.
Oh, wow. That is most excellent.
We're going to take some more guesses, okay?
Okay, so, Jack. Have a nice night.
Thanks for being a good sport and playing along, and we'll hear from you soon.
Oh, wait. Let me ask you another. When you get the question right, what do we win?
Ah, I'm glad you asked that.
Wait. Don't tell me.
What?
Recognition.
Recognition. There's a certain amount of that. There's the pride. There's
joy.
Joy. There's not much of that, but...
joy? You're leaving joy out?
Well, we just... You know, joy isn't all that widespread these days. $1,000 cash. What else? Not much, really.
Yeah. I just want to say hi to some callers that we'll be calling up, like Sammy and Mr. Radio out there if he's listening.
Okay.
Sammy, give us a good phone call tonight, man.
Yeah, don't do that. Sure.
Again, I'll see if I can get some wacky people to call up, all right?
And where have you been since Christmas time?
I've been in Beijing.
I see.
You know, the Chinese food chain service has been very wild out there, you know?
Yeah, it has been.
People in the streets, you know, they just come into my parents' restaurant there, so they asked me if I could go over there and help them out, you know?
Uh-huh.
Really?
I'm glad you're a part of things in the 1980s.
I thought I was going to get killed over there because somebody reported me.
Uh-huh.
I was scared. That's why I came back.
It's probably somebody from over here that reported you.
Yeah, probably. I don't know. When I find out who did it, though, they're going to be dead men.
Okay, well, we'll pass that message along.
Okay, Eric.
He's back and he's looking for them.
Okay,
thanks for calling. 632 6901. Again, the noises that we are asking you to identify are the following. Not the ring, the noise after the ring. Okay, that's basically it. It repeats that a few times, but that's basically the first sound that we're asking you to identify. Then the second sound that we're asking you to identify is what immediately follows this ring. Those two sounds. Can you do it? Can you identify those sounds? Do you know what they are? Is it possible that nobody knows what they are? That would be fascinating if no one knew what they were. And since we got on the subject of the doo-doo-doo recordings, I do want to see if it's possible to get through to that number in Greenland that just gives you nothing but those sounds. So we'll know that in a couple of seconds. Well, I don't know what that was. It certainly wasn't a doo-doo-doo recording. I don't know what I got there. We'll try that later. It sounded like a ring that just never stopped. 6-3-2-6-9-0-1. Good evening.
Oh, hello.
Yeah?
Were they or are they when you call up a...
What is that noise in the background?
That's my bass.
Well, keep your bass away from the phone, eh?
Sure. Anyway, is that when you call up a... what's the name of it? A modem.
Well, you sort of have the general idea, but that's kind of vague.
That's the signal that the modem gives?
Well, there's two different things.
Yeah, I know. Well, I don't...
Which one is which?
The first one is when you call up a modem, that's the signal it gives to see if you're on a modem, it's trying to establish some contact with another computer.
Okay, is that your guess?
That's my guess.
Then you are wrong.
Well, fine.
I don't mean to sound so happy about that, but you are wrong. And I'm wondering if anyone's going to get it. You know, I would be completely shocked if nobody got it. I mean, you know, I just assumed everybody knew these things, but... I thought the people that didn't know it would be the minority.
Wow. Well, you were saying that there are some people who can never hope to be normal. What's do you forgot to add in or want to be?
Oh, yeah, of course. That's assumed.
Yeah, so...
If a USB listener is, of course that's assumed.
So, did you see in the big Rolling Stone magazine?
USB in Rolling Stone?
Lister, Hugh, and Logan
yeah.
mentioned in... Rolling Stone magazine.
Well, that's not the first time.
Really? It's been in there before?
Oh, sure. Yeah, Lister's all over the place.
Wow. But I was sort of surprised.
He's been in Newsday and Rolling Stone, People magazine, the Three Village Herald, you name it.
You know what I found really intriguing?
What's that?
Tracy Lords has been making porn movies at the same age that Debbie Gibson was doing pop songs.
It just goes to show how...
How
you can make your career move in whatever way you want.
I know. I mean, how kids can make their careers in whatever way they want. Isn't that amazing?
It sure is. And God bless them. That's what America's all about.
That blinds the senses.
Uh-huh.
Wow. Amazing.
Sex and drugs and rock and roll, you know? That's what it's all about.
Exactly.
Anyway, we're going to take some more guesses. Sorry you didn't win anything. Would have even if you did guess. But, you know, keep thinking. If you get a sudden inspiration from God or something, give us a call.
Was it God?
Where?
The signal, is that God?
No, it's not God. But that's a good guess, too, even though you're not allowed two guesses.
Fine.
Okay.
Bye.
I guess that was someone else's guess, because they just hung up the moment they heard that. 6-3-2-6-9-0-1. What are the mystery sounds? What do they mean? Do they mean anything? Of course they mean something. I wouldn't be wasting people's time like this. I do want to see if that Greenland number answers again, though. I don't think we've ever called Greenland before, and the only reason I'm calling them now is because I just happened to get through to it the other day, and it was really funny to hear that noise, and I sure would like to share it, if I could. Don't want to wake anybody up in Greenland, certainly. Boy, that's the noise of a connection to Greenland, all right. That's the Atlantic Ocean we're hearing. Ooh, something happened. Something went wrong. The call did not complete. Oh, well. We'll try again later. 632-6901. Good evening.
Hi, Eric. It was a facsimile machine and a modem, both in answer mode.
Very good. Very good. You are technically adept.
Thank you.
Yes, even though it is your third or fourth time calling us tonight, that's exactly what they were. The first one was a fax machine, and the second one was a computer modem. Now, perhaps, since you know this stuff, you can explain to the people who might not know what those devices are, just what they are used for.
Okay, a facsimile machine is used for the transmission of documents, whereas you put a written document in one fax machine, and you set it up, and it dials another fax machine, and it prints out.
Uh-huh. Could be anywhere in the world.
Anywhere in the whole world.
That's right.
Your telecommunications company can, your common carrier company can reach.
Uh-huh.
And the modem is used, it stands for modulator demodulator, which it does to computer data. It turns it into audible signals, and it transmits it to another computer with the modem over the telephone line that turns it back into characters.
Now, that last definition...
And letters or whatever.
I don't think anybody would know what you're talking about if they didn't know what a computer modem was in the first place.
Well, a modem is used to go between your phone line and your computer. And if you type, pretty much what it does is if you type something in or send something to your modem with the computer, it goes over the phone line and the other modem turns it back into whatever it was the other guy sent and it prints out on the screen.
Basically, a modem is a telephone for your computer.
Pretty much, yeah.
And that's what they used in war games. And that's, if you call a number and it picks up with a modem tone, which is a single high-pitched tone that changes occasionally to see if you're some other kind of computer, that means that you've called something that that basically has a computer attached to it and is waiting for your modem to talk to its modem so they can communicate. Fax machine, you'll hear kind of that...
bird whistle thing.
Yeah, bird whistle type thing. And that... that's so that the two machines can talk to each other.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So.
And by the way, was the fax machine, any chance, your fax machine?
No, it was not my fax machine. It was another fax machine. You think I'd call my fax machine on the air? What do you think, I'm crazy?
A fax machine of a company that you are affiliated with?
No. This is an alien fax machine, one that I have never even seen.
You've never seen it?
Nope.
You're exposing it on the air?
I don't know where it is.
Doesn't this, change the Telecommunications Privacy Act of...
It might, but since nobody knows what I'm calling and there's no way to find out what it is,
yes, there is. We can
come and get me.
The ESS printouts and find out where it was you called.
No, I don't think you can do that.
Well, then...
Because I'm having them destroyed later on tonight.
Why, it doesn't do that from the phone system that they use on campus?
I don't know.
Well, I guess you'll just have to
But if you
out.
Pursue this, I'll find out, so... So give it a try.
And by the way, it
yeah.
sucks because you can't get to a skate park over a telephone.
You can't get to a skate park over a phone?
No.
Who said you could?
Well, I said you can't. Nobody said that you could. I was just stating that you can't.
I see.
You can transmit data over a phone, but not yourself.
Not yet, anyway.
Picture of yourself, but, you know, it wouldn't be very mobile once it got to the other end.
That's true, yes. Okay, well, thanks for calling, and thanks for getting the question right.
Oh, yes, so I need to give you my address.
Made all of our other callers hang up, too, you know.
$1,000.
Was it? $1,000, yes. I slipped. I disconnected him by accident. I'm sorry. I'm sorry about that. I won't be able to send you a prize because there's no way to verify it's the same person calling back, even though he probably will have the same voice. That's just the way it goes sometimes. It's what they call an act of God, you know, what they... put on the back of your tickets sometimes at ball games. We're not liable for acts of God or anyone else. 632-6901. You can no longer guess what the noise was, but you can talk about anything else that's on your mind because that's what we're here for. We're a sounding board. We're Well, we're sounding bored because nobody's calling, but no. We're a sounding board for you. And we'd like to hear from you. We'd like to hear what exciting things are going on in your life. I mean, you know, we can say that life is boring and dull. It's a hot, muggy summer on Long Island, but it's not really that way because, you know, there's all kinds of things happening. There's this Supreme Court nonsense with abortion and flag burning. There's revolutions all over the world, countries changing their name, you know, fax machines popping up wherever you look. It's a changing world, you know, and 10 years from now, people will look back and say these were exciting times. Well, let's not disappoint them. Let's make them very exciting. And this is a provocative radio program, something that we should be proud of. So be a part of it. 632-6901. Good evening.
Hello.
Yes.
Hi, my name is Alice.
Hi, Alice.
You talked about the flag burning.
Yes. Well, I just mentioned it, but...
Do you agree with the Supreme Court's opinion?
Well, I'll say this. I think the Supreme Court made the right decision in saying that that was a way of protest. I don't agree with flag burning, and I've never burned a flag, and I don't really see myself doing that. But I think it's not up to lawmakers to keep something like that from happening.
Are you a musician?
I'm sorry?
Are you a musician?
No, I'm not.
Okay, what's your favorite thing in the world?
My favorite thing in the world? Let's see. That's a tough question. I've got a lot of favorite things in the world. I mean, I like to travel.
No, personal, to you. Holding your hand.
Hold my hand. I can't think of one thing. You know, there's just so many things that I like.
One thing.
I mean, I like radio a lot. I like traveling. I like, I like music. I mean, music is probably the most valuable thing.
Okay, you can hold that in your hand, right?
Okay.
Okay. Suppose you had a record
that
was, to you, was the most important thing in the world.
Right.
Now, suppose somebody burned that.
Uh-huh.
How would you feel about that?
Well, my record, the one that belonged to me, or just...
Suppose they burned that, and that was freedom of speech to them.
If it's one that they have...
No. It's your...
Oh, if it's mine, then obviously they're breaking a law by taking my personal property.
Right. Exactly.
And I'd be very upset by that, but I don't think you can...
Something to do with America. American record that you love.
Uh-huh. But it belongs to me.
Right. And they burned it.
Right. But the I don't think flag burners have ever been accused of stealing flags.
I think they always... Flag burning. We're talking about your record that has to do with America.
Uh-huh.
That you love.
Uh-huh.
Yours.
Right.
Now, they say, we're going to burn that sucker because it has to do with, you know... freedom of speech. How would you feel about that?
Well, like I said, if it's my record, obviously I'd be very upset. If it was their record, I would say I'm upset that they're burning my favorite record.
It's not their record. It's your record.
If it belongs to me, then they are breaking a rule by taking my personal property. If it belongs to them, they're making me upset by burning a record that I like.
But it belongs to you.
Sorry?
It belongs to you.
Right. Well, every flag in the country doesn't belong to me, though.
Because you're an American.
But that's symbolic talk, you see.
But the record that you hold in your hand is symbolic. Because that record could belong to anybody. So the record you hold in your hand that you love and has to do with America is yours.
Yes, well...
Not totally. Now, you might have to fight for that. In a crowd of people on a line, you might have to fight, you know, anywhere.
Yes, but... You see, it's still...
Oh, if somebody said to you, this is the greatest record, it's your record, your special record that you love, and, you know, you did everything in the world to get this record, they said, we're going to burn that record on you, because this is the freedom of speech, what would you do?
Yeah, okay, but I think you're missing my point.
No, I'm not.
Well, if it's a piece of personal property, that is the only reason I would be upset. If it was something else that wasn't, it was just a symbol of my record...
Wait a minute, no, isn't America a piece of property? Isn't this our property? Doesn't this belong to us?
It's still, I look upon every flag as a symbol, and the act of burning that flag is yet another symbol.
It's okay to burn that. It's okay to burn your record, your car, your house, anything, your kids, your wife, anything, right? Your shoes, for instance.
But that's something that belongs, it's physically mine that I have bought.
You're an American. You're an American.
If I had a flag on my front lawn.
No, you're an American. You're an American. And anything that has to do with America is yours.
I don't agree with that. I'm sorry.
Okay, so then you're not American.
Oh, great. Okay, well, thanks for revealing that to me.
Well, that's what you just said.
That's not what I said. No, I said I don't agree that every flag in the country belongs to me and I should prevent it from being burned.
But you're not an American. But you don't love the flag.
I'm not an American in your terms. Okay, fine. But that doesn't mean I'm not an American.
You are, because you are not. You don't love the flag. You don't love your shoes. You don't love the racket. You don't love your shoes. You don't love the kids. Whatever.
I don't think it's fair to say someone is not an American because they don't agree with your terms. I don't think that's what this country stands for at all.
Really? Now, suppose 10 years ago we were invaded by some country, and they burned our flag, they took us over, and you had to fight for that flag, and you're going to say, well, we won.
Uh-huh.
You're going to say, well, it's okay for them guys to burn our flag because of freedom of speech.
I'm not saying it's okay to burn a flag, personally. I'm not saying it's okay for the Klan to march through a village, but it's something that some people will do, and it's not something that we can stop because of the First Amendment, period.
So you don't agree that it should burn the flag?
I am not for burning flags, but I am not for outlawing it, because outlawing it is stepping over a very dangerous line. Then what? Do we say people who wear flags on their shirt, they're desecrating the flag, and we have to ban that too?
Wear the flags on a shirt?
Sorry?
Should they walk on a flag? Should they hang it, you know, should they walk on a flag? Should they desecrate it that way?
Yeah, can they spit on the flag? Can they criticize the flag? You know, we've had some lawmakers say that people who criticize the flag should also be held up to the same regard as somebody who burns a flag. Now, that's taking a few very dangerous steps. And I think the first step would be to tack on an amendment to an amendment to an amendment is what President Bush wants to do. The First Amendment he wants to rewrite a little bit. I don't think that's right.
Well, I have to go.
Okay. Well, thanks for calling. Getting me all worked up. Good evening. You're on Brain Damage.
Hi, Eric. Don't hang up on me now, all right?
This is ridiculous. This is what? How many? Five times you've called tonight?
I just set a record here.
Yeah.
Now listen to what the lady just said. If you put that, you know, like you learn in sequential two math with these logical statement things.
Don't give me math. Give me something else, not math.
No, I don't like math either, but it has to do with English also. Look, if you think about it, I don't exactly know how to do it, but I'm sure she would come up wrong. Isn't what she said. Because she was kind of narrow-minded and wouldn't listen to it.
Forget about her. What do you think?
I think I don't like somebody burning the flag. I don't think that they should be put in the electric chair or have bamboos, you know, stuck under their fingernails for it, and they shouldn't be sent to jail or anything. It's not right to do, but you know, it's like if you say no, you can't burn the flag, right? Okay, so then you go to jail. All right, then they say, you know, if you say anything bad against the flag, like, you know, I really think the flag would look better if we're, you know, purple and yellow and green. Then they throw you in jail.
Oh, that's desecrating the flag, isn't it? You're criticizing it. You're criticizing this country. You know, it's... I mean, I understand how these people feel. I really do. But you have to understand there's other people that feel different ways. And they're not... All they're doing is voicing a protest in a way that some find abhorrent. But it's really their way of protesting.
No, but these people are talking about, you know, the spirit of America.
Uh-huh.
But the spirit of America would be desecrated if you put somebody in jail for saying something against the United States, which is what makes this country great, why we have a multi-party system, why you can, you know, if you want to print flyers that say, you know, Elvis is God,
uh-huh,
and, you know, the Catholic Church might not be happy about it,
uh-huh,
but they can't go and, you know, send you to the electric chair because of it.
Well, you know, it's like I said a few weeks ago on this program, the whole flag burning issue seems, if nothing else, to make people more patriotic. I mean, if let's say we've made it completely legal, no questions asked, you can burn a flag if you want to. Now, how does the country get hurt by that? You see, I don't see that. I don't see how the country actually gets hurt. I see people getting more patriotic about it and defending the flag more, which is fine. You know, if that's what it leads to, you know, people may argue about it. There's nothing wrong with that.
Except, you know,
but when you start outlawing it, that's not healthy.
Since they made it legal to burn the flag, you know how many people have burned flags? One.
One person.
One person. And he only did it not because he hates the United States or something, but just to exercise his right because...
Mm-hmm.
Not to be spiteful to anybody or something, but because, you know, it's his right to do it, and he was just trying to make a statement.
Uh-huh.
You know?
There's somebody, I think, on Long Island that tried
that. That was the one person in the whole country that burned a flag since they made it legal.
Uh-huh. It's not something very many people want to do, and it's just it's kind of silly to be spending so much time on something when there's so many other things to be really concerned
Actually,
about.
Wait, you know what's desecrating a flag more than that? I saw the other day in this store this little plastic American flag. You know what it said on it?
What?
Made in Taiwan.
That's funny.
I'm not joking.
I'll tell you what's desecrating a flag. Having these car dealerships on the Sconset Highway with flags as big as football fields, you know?
I don't think that's desecrating it.
You don't? I think it's making the flag into a commercial symbol, you know, which, I mean, I can live with it. I can live with that. I mean, I don't have to, you know, see the flag revered all the time. But if you're going to talk about burning the flag, talk about, you know, commercialization of the flag, too, because I think that's just as bad. You're using the flag for profit.
I don't think necessarily saying, you know, putting a flag on a car dealership and say, you know, we're the most patriotic car dealership on this Sconset Highway, so buy your car from us. That would be wrong, but, you know, just putting up a flag, that's like...
Well, that's what they're saying. Why the hell are those flags so big? I don't understand that. Car dealerships always have these huge flags. There's messages in there somewhere.
I don't know. Maybe it's a subliminal, you know, message using, what are they called again? You know what I mean.
Patriotic fervor. I don't know.
Yeah.
Thanks for calling again. We're going to get back to other calls.
Do you think I set a record yet, the most calls per show?
You're 1 second away. Whoops. 632-6901. Good evening. Hello? No. Good evening.
Eric.
Yes.
About the flag burning.
Yes.
You ask all the veterans that gave their lives for that flag, you ask how they feel about that. By burning that flag, you burn all our hopes and desires of what made America.
I don't believe that. I don't believe a burning... I mean... You're going to stand up for it. You're going to defend it. You're going to defend it to your fellow citizen. You're going to explain why the flag is more important to you. They hung up. All right. I don't know why they hung up. Seemed like I was establishing a dialogue there. Nothing wrong with arguing about this, folks. Nothing wrong with that at all. But there is something wrong with denying one side the right. And obviously this is... I mean, the Supreme Court, they're not a bunch of communists, they're not a bunch of anarchists, they're, you know, the kind of people you don't expect to make a decision like this, really. So if they make a decision like this, you know that there has to be something in it, you know? It's not crazy. Not that crazy, anyway. I mean, it would have to be crazy on the other extreme. You know, that's the way the Supreme Court has been usually. They've been extremely rightist, and now this is... I don't even think this is a leftist type of a thing. I don't think it's a right-left issue. It's basic common sense. When you just stand back for a second and think about it, think about what it's all about with the Constitution and freedom of speech. Why does the ACLU support Nazis? I mean, they get it from all different sides. And they support Nazis because, as distasteful as it is, they have the right to freedom of speech, just like everybody else. Does that make you a Nazi for saying that? I sure hope not, because we got a lot of Nazis walking around this country then. 632-6901. Good evening.
Hey, Eric. Sorry, yeah. I called back again, but I wanted to get on this flag subject here.
Yeah.
Oh, by the way, Danny said hi. But anyway, do you ever go to the store when you see the flag, right?
Uh-huh.
And they say made in Taiwan?
I just heard about that, yeah.
Yeah, well, what kind of flag is that? Let me ask you that question.
Well, it's an American flag that was made in Taiwan. You know, it's kind of symbolic, but, I mean, it's no big deal, really.
I don't really think that's an American flag, man.
No, well, it's sort of a symbol of an American flag, a symbol of a symbol, you know?
Yeah, but I thought the American flag is supposed to mean America.
See, all the flag is a symbol. For God's sake, it's just a symbol of what the country is.
Can you give me a definition of symbol?
It's like flags are really strange things.
Uh-huh.
The whole country is wrapped up in a rectangle of cloth.
Uh-huh.
All right, that's what, you know, that little rectangle of cloth which every country has symbolizes your country. Now, it doesn't mean anything if the country itself doesn't live up to what the flag is supposed to be. You know, if the country is decadent, what's the point in being proud of the flag, you know? The flag simply represents false ideals.
Yeah, I see what you're saying.
A lot of people think the American flag represents false ideals. A lot of people don't think it represents false ideals. But if you believe in the very premise of the Bill of Rights and the Constitution and the Declaration of Independence and all that, you should see how occasionally something like this that is distasteful must be allowed.
Okay.
And the flag is no higher up than any other object.
Yeah, but the flag represents America.
It sure does, and so does the right to burn a flag.
Oh, yeah, I believe in that, right? Yeah, but what I'm calling about is these flags made in Taiwan.
Well, I really don't know anything about those. It seems like kind of a silly thing to do.
You ever, like, go to, like, one of these restaurants when they put, like, the little American flags on your sandwich? You know what I'm talking about? Well, I don't know if they do that now. But
they don't do that to me. I don't let them.
No, it was, just, I don't know, early 80s when they used to do that. I like these restaurants, and they used to put the American flags, right? And then you used to, like, chuck them on the floor. What are you going to do, burn those?
I don't know.
Really?
But you raise a good point, because why is burning the ultimate desecration? There's all kinds of other things. Wearing a shirt that has a flag on it, you know, stars and stripes on your car and the tailpipe of your car or something. I don't know. There's all kinds of things you could say that amount to desecration of the flag. And you have to be very careful when you start outlawing things like that. This is a democracy, you know. This is... Other countries don't seem to have a problem with this. Americans seem to have to always staunchly defend their country, and we shouldn't have to do that. We shouldn't have to always be defending it. Let's be ourselves. Let's be proud of who we are.
I see your point. Did you ever see that movie? Are we allowed to say movies over the air?
Movies? Yeah, you can say that.
That movie, Heartbreak Ridge.
Wait, is that one of the words? Hold on. No, the FCC man says that is not one of the words. Go ahead.
All right. Well, did you ever see that movie when the kid was wearing an American flag on the back of his jacket, and Elvis came up and he ripped it off, and he said that was you're putting America to shame? Did you ever see that?
No, I never saw that, but I would certainly take Elvis to court for that one. Who's violating whose rights in that?
That was like one of those new movies.
Who's violating whose rights in that instance? You know.
I don't see anybody bickering over that, because he, like, you know, he ripped the flag off the guy's jacket.
Uh-huh.
And he folded it, and he's like, oh, this is America. It was pretty funny.
So, okay, I've got a blank piece of paper here, okay?
Yes?
I am drawing an American flag.
Yes?
All right. There's the little stripes and everything.
Does it have the
stars?
Colors? You can't forget the colors.
I only have a blue pen. Okay, now, but the thing is, it doesn't have to have the colors. This little square that I've made here is a representation of this country, right?
Huh?
Now,
does it have all
what have I just done by ripping it in half?
Yes.
Have I just done something that can get me thrown in jail?
No.
By drawing a flag and then ripping it?
I don't think so.
Have I just said that I'm not proud to live in this country? This whole thing is stupid. It really is. Let's wake up and get on with real life. And stop worrying about symbols. Sorry?
No, I said smell the coffee. Really?
Yeah, smell the coffee. You got it. You got it.
Burnt toast.
Thanks for calling.
Oh, yeah.
632-6901. Good evening.
Good evening, Eric. Before, you mentioned about how much harm could it be to let other people... I mean, how much harm could it possibly be? Let me get this straight. A little buzz right now.
Okay. Just talk loudly into the phone and we can hear every word.
Okay. What type of harm would it be for the Supreme Court to let us burn our flag? Think of how other countries are going to look at us now. I mean, what's the matter with us? We can run around burning our stuff, and I mean, I'd also like a consensus of the other countries. How many of them consider it legal to burn their flags of the free world? I'm not talking commies. I'm not talking anything else. I just want to know.
Uh-huh, that's an interesting question. I think...
Might you be able to find me an answer on some other program?
Well, if any of our listeners know if it's legal to burn flags in other countries, I'd like to know myself.
I got a feeling they'd kill you in Ireland. I got a feeling they'd kill you in England.
Oh, they wouldn't... Well, they wouldn't kill you in Northern Ireland, I can tell you that. If you burned an English flag there, they wouldn't kill you at all.
Well, that's a little different.
Yeah.
That's not their flag.
Yeah, but who's running the country?
Well,
you see, England is running that country, and in that particular form, that's an act of protest. And outlawing that act of protest leads to more conflict.
What about Australia? What about Switzerland? What about,
Uh-huh.
Do you know any of these answers?
Can you find out for me?
I can certainly look into it. It's something I've been trying to find out, actually. But if somebody knows the answer to these questions, yes, I'd like to call us up and tell us.
Okay. I'd appreciate it.
Let me ask you a question, though. If it turns out that there are several countries that you know, don't really care if people burn flags, what would you say to that?
I got a feeling you're going to find out otherwise, though.
Uh-huh.
I really do.
Okay, well, let's try to find out, particularly countries like Canada, England, the Netherlands.
Yeah, Canada, Mexico, our neighbors.
Uh-huh.
Japan, even.
Okay.
They'll probably cut your things off.
Well,
there.
Japan is an interesting case because they've changed a lot over the years. You remember how it was with Emperor Hirohito. You weren't even allowed to say certain things, like he was going to die soon. You weren't allowed to say that. So, in that particular culture, I think a lot of things are beyond our reach. You just can't talk about them.
What type of party do you consider yourself?
What type of party?
Liberal.
Well,
Republican, Democrat, Independent?
Most people consider me not to be conservative, but I can't label myself as anything because I never go along party lines, you see. And I just don't, you know. I try to think about, you know, individual type things, and that always gets me in trouble.
I know what you mean.
Yeah.
I do the same.
Okay, well, keep doing it.
Okay, bye.
Thanks for calling. 632-6901. Good evening.
Hi, Eric.
Yeah.
Yeah, let's see. How about we talk about something even more important than...
Wait a minute. This is you again?
There are no skate parks on Long Island. What?
All right. Good evening.
Hello?
Yeah?
Me again.
Well, why don't you pick up a real phone?
Wait a minute.
Hold
it. Hey.
Call us a speakerphone.
What's going on in this planet Earth?
Why don't you pick up the phone?
Want me to pick it up?
Yes.
You don't like this?
No.
Now how's
it sound? Oh, God, that's even worse.
Sound.
Don't you have a real phone?
Well, I did when I was on the road.
Sounds like you're talking through your earpiece.
Does?
All right.
Look, Mary Ann Devine on this morning. She heard me.
Well, make it... Look, you're talking to all of Long Island here on a call-in show. Look.
How's that?
That's better. What did you call to say?
Well, first I wanted you to identify that noise, and then you hung up. What's going on with this brain damage program?
You mean
for brain damaged people?
You played a weird noise, and then you expect me to know that that's you?
Well, I mean, if it was somebody else, I was in the audience, I would be interested to see what they were up to. But the thing is, this flag burning thing.
Yeah.
Hey, now, I was in the Navy, you know, and I happen to be looking at my honorable discharge right here. United States Navy, you know.
Uh-huh.
This is to certify that James Slauk was honorably discharged from United States Navy on such and such a day. The flag, I don't know, you shouldn't burn it because you gotta uphold it. It's a symbol, but you gotta uphold it because it's sort of like the symbol that they fight for, because if you knock the flag down, then another flag could go up in its place. Isn't that what we do? Isn't that what other countries do when they take over another country? They put their symbol up to show that this is now our real estate or whatever?
Well, yes, basically that's true, although we've never in our history had to worry about that. What you say is right. I mean, I agree with what you're saying. We shouldn't do that. But what I think that should only be kept on an individual basis. People should say that to other people. I don't think the government should say that to the people.
Well, you're pretty good. Well, I like your idea of freedom of speech, but sometimes you're a little bit, don't get me wrong, hypocritical, because, like, you know, if I start talking about phone sex and masturbation over the air, you'll hang up.
Well, it's not because I want to hang up. It's because I have to.
Well, who says?
The Federal Communications Commission says.
Well, what's the matter with sex?
I guess who runs them.
No, but what's the matter with sex? How did everybody get here?
Well, look, you're talking about it now. I'm not hanging up on you. It's only when people use obscenity that I have to hang up on them.
You're right.
And that's a law. You know, there's nothing I can do about that.
If you use the F word, you'll hang up on them.
Exactly.
I that's not freedom of speech, Eric.
Well, it's not, but it's not me making the decision. That's the same government that wants to make the decision to, you know, actually, I'm, No, I'm wrong in saying that. I'm wrong in saying that. Forget that I ever said that. The government said that it's legal. Other parts of the government, namely President Bush and some congressional people, wanted to make it illegal to burn flags. So which one of them prevails? I think that's the important question.
Do you think this flag burning thing is another step towards the government just stepping in on the backs of the people where they shouldn't step, like they already done with you? You don't have freedom of speech on a radio. You feel this is another burden?
It's a step in a bad direction.
Well, that's how I always felt about the seatbelt law.
It's a big waste of time. Well, the seatbelt law is a state thing. It's not a federal thing.
Yeah, that's true. But still, I don't like the state being my mommy and watching out for me, because the government should stay off the backs of the people. Maybe that's why you feel it's okay to burn the flag, because the government's original plan was to stay out of the stay off the people's backs.
Uh-huh.
And now by this flag burning thing, which I really don't think it's a good idea to burn it, I don't know where I stand on it, but...
Well, look, I can guarantee you, if you try burning a flag in a public place, there are going to be people that will try to stop you.
Well,
right?
I would...
Why do we need anything... Excuse me, why do we need any more than that, you know? Why isn't that enough?
Well, anybody who does that is just looking for attention anyway. If anybody who's going to go out and burn the flag should go out and do something constructive first, and then if they try to change the government, do something constructive other than just standing there. It doesn't take any energy, really, to stand there and light a match to the flag. It doesn't take anything to do that. The people are not really doing anything constructive. They're just looking for attention.
That's
what
true.
I think.
It takes energy to criticize the policies and to, you know, to think out a line of argument, which, you know, that's where the real work lies. And
I don't get your point.
Well, I'm saying, you know, burning the flag is something very simple. It's something very simple and something to get attention. The real critics of the flag take a lot more time and effort, and they don't get the same attention, obviously. So the two should not be mixed up.
What are you telling me, that the people that should be burning the flag don't?
No, I don't think anybody should be burning the flag, but I'm saying the people, the real critics of the flag that have something constructive to say about it,
yeah.
First of all, they're being lumped in with people that just go out and burn the flag, and second of all, they're not getting attention for what it is they're saying.
I'm not quite getting you.
I'm not either. It's kind of disjointed, I realize, but... I don't know. Basically, what I've been saying all along is what I'm holding to now. It's something that is distasteful to most people, but at the same time, if you outlaw it, it's going to cause a lot of problems.
Well, I don't know. You gotta draw a line somewhere. I guess I don't like the government being on the backs of the people. I don't know. But I just, if you're going to burn a flag, you better have a damn good reason to do it, I think. Somebody better have screwed you around so bad, because my father went to war for this country, and there's a lot of World War II veterans around, and they feel like that's the thing that they did, that was their patriotic duty, was to fight for this country, and the flag stood for all of that. Like you say, it's a symbol, and somebody burn it is like somebody, I don't know, just spitting in their face.
Well, you know, what you say is all fine and good, but you have to realize that your opinion is not shared by everybody. There are people that think this country has really screwed them. I mean, look at AIDS research. It's practically zilch. People are dying in the streets, literally, because we spend more on military than anything else.
Somebody
that is affected by that directly, that has had friends die, that maybe is dying themselves, perhaps doesn't feel as great about this country as you do, and perhaps they would feel, as an act of desperation, burning a flag is a damn good thing to do. Now, you know, while we may not agree with them, there are other circumstances sometimes that take over.
That wasn't a good example, the AIDS, because, you know, that's irresponsibility on the part of the sexual... Even I could have gotten AIDS the way I not used protection sometimes.
What I'm saying is there's many reasons why you would disagree with this country. Let's say you had relatives in Nicaragua or Vietnam or something like that died as a result of this country's errant policy, okay?
I don't like what we did to the North American Indians.
Yeah.
We screwed them really bad.
We sure did. We can't forget about that.
The thing is, I hate to use this analogy, but there's no other. If we didn't do it, somebody else would have, and we gave them. We did the best we could. I think we did more in return after we messed them up than any other country would have done. We tried to redeem ourselves by doing certain things for them. I mean, I really think we screwed them, but I think we did more than any other country would have in their favor.
Well, I'd like to hear what the Indians have to say about that.
I know what you're saying, but you got the world grew in population, like I always say, and the Indians, I think, had the right idea. They weren't technological. They were totally in tune with nature, like nobody is today. But the thing is, there were industrialized nations that would have gotten in the way of somebody else if it wasn't us. It just would have. It was inevitable.
Yeah, but how can you use that as justification?
Well, what? I mean, I guess I'm rationalizing because I'm living on Indian soil today.
Uh huh.
But I mean, it's inevitable. It would have happened. If we didn't screw them, somebody else would have. Some other government would have.
I can't.
That would be a reason to burn the flag.
Uh-huh.
I think the Indians would be justifiable for them to do that.
Sure. I mean, there's all kinds of people that would have a reason. Homeless.
Homeless? That's ridiculous.
Why is that ridiculous?
Because I told you, there's always going to be homeless. It's always going to. The world is getting overpopulated. It's going to get worse. You haven't seen anything yet. You have not seen anything yet. It's going to get so bad. It's in its infancy right now. Wait until more and more people start getting older, and more people have more and more babies, and the housing, and this and that.
Okay.
What are you going to do? You're going to build more houses, and then.
Well, that's not
poverty.
That's not my point. Now we have these homeless people; they exist today, and a lot of them are really getting shafted by social services, by the city, by the state. You name it.
I'm sure.
And you're telling me that if these people in their frustration burn a symbol to show their outrage, then they're going to be in real trouble now?
Some of them have found hardship through legitimate channels, I'm sure. Legitimate reasons for them. But there are people on social services now, like I've said time and time again, and I agree with David Duke, who are on welfare, who are having children, they're popping them out of the toaster at an alarming rate. And we're footing the bill, and I think that those women should be sterilized or taken right off of the Social Security payroll. Nobody's got the guts to do it. David Duke is the only one who's had the guts to stand up and say that. David Duke.
Yeah, former Klansman.
Well, what are you going to do? If you had
I'm
going to
say former Klansman every time you say his name. That's what I'm going to do.
If you had a little neighborhood, let's say you had a little neighborhood, and the town was named Eric Corley. And there were 5,000 people in your neighborhood, and this was the only neighborhood for 1,000 miles around. And somebody in your neighborhood had a hardship. And everybody in that neighborhood said, okay, we're going to help you get back on your feet. And then that person started to take advantage of you, said, well, gee, they got me on my feet. I guess I'll just I'll eat as much as I can. I won't have to worry. I won't have to go to work. I'll have as many babies as I can. I won't do anything to straighten myself out. I'll just keep leeching off of Eric Corley town. That would aggravate you. You'd run that person out of town. But now the bureaucracy has gotten so big, nobody can get to it anymore, and these people are a bunch of parasites.
Now, wait.
Taxpayers back.
Wait, just 1 minute. Now, how often do you go into New York City?
Oh, I go in there, I was just in there not too long ago. I go in there once every 2 months or so.
Once every 2 months. I'm in there several times a week. I see lots and lots of homeless people all over the place. They don't look like they're leeching off society to me. They look like they're pretty damn miserable. And I don't resent them for taking my tax money. I pity their existence for what they have to go through. And I could understand how they could be rather upset at the hand that fate has dealt them, not necessarily the city or the state or the country itself, but it's our responsibility to help these people.
I agree with you. I agree that we should help them, but then a large majority of them take advantage and start having babies on the system, and they don't do anything to better themselves. Then those babies become well-fed.
Well, look, I'm not.
And then they stay on welfare, and then they have welfare kids, and it's just it's a welfare generation. I see it here in my town, here where I live.
Well, I'm not denying that there are some people that take advantage, but you seem to think it's the majority. I'd like to know how you know it's the majority.
And then, yeah, but then when you help these people, they complain anyway. Well, we're not getting enough help. I mean, what do they want? No, I agree. All right, you got to help some people. I could wind up homeless. I could wind up like that. But any help I get, I'll appreciate it. I hear people on Donahue's show and this and that complaining about the welfare system and this and that. They should be grateful that they're getting something. We were on welfare once years ago when my father lost his job, but he got back on his feet and we got off of it.
First of all, the people you see on the Donahue show are the vocal spokespeople that have something to gain.
Yeah.
Try talking to the average person in the street and see where they're coming from before you make judgments about them, because those are the majority, the ones that are lying there and just asking for a dime or a nickel from you. And when you give it to them, they're so incredibly grateful, it makes you feel like real scum, you know?
Why do you feel so bad for some of the homeless in the city? What makes you think that they don't want to be there anyway?
I can't imagine anybody wanting to be in that kind of condition.
What about that lady that Mayor Koch tried to help? She was content in being a homeless woman. She didn't want to be bothered. She didn't want help.
Some people are. Some people are content. But, you know, I can't imagine the majority wanting to be, especially ones with kids, wanting to be in the street. I think everybody, you know, in that condition would be better off being, you know, helped out at least, you know, to get self-sufficient anyway.
Well,
in any event, I think we strayed off the original topic.
I know. Yeah, we sure did. We always wind up doing that. We go off on a tangent. I better go, because we could go on forever about this, you know.
We certainly could, and we don't want to do that.
All right, I'll see you, Eric.
Thanks for calling.
Bye.
632-6901. I guess we have time for... Well, someone else picked that one up. Okay, well, if anyone else wants to call in, 632-6901. We have about 2 minutes left, and boy, I wasn't planning on talking about flag burning at all tonight, but I guess it just sort of happened, you know. It's amazing. See the kind of power you have on this radio program? You can just start a conversation and rake me over the coals for 45 minutes. It's great sport, isn't it? 632-6901. Good evening.
Hi, how you doing?
Hi, how are you?
All right, I just tuned in. I was listening to Little Feet on another station, and what I caught was this guy saying that the homeless are parasites. Was that what the topic was tonight?
The topic actually turned into flag burning, and I sort of brought it around to homeless people.
Yeah, well, flag burning is old news, and I spoke about that last week with you anyhow.
Okay, so what do you have to say about this?
Well, first of all, I can't see how this guy can call these people parasites. I mean, the majority of these people, I don't think they want to be out on the streets. The majority of these people... They can't afford to live in the high rent places that the city offers them.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's a problem. I think that's probably the main problem why these people are homeless.
Uh-huh.
Secondly, he was saying that you know, people take advantage of the welfare system, and that I would have to agree with. You know, and it has to be regulated. Unfortunately, the government has no way of doing that, and that's how the system gets ripped off. But that's still no reason to have the attitude that this gentleman had about these people. You know, I mean, I go to the city a lot, and you know, you walk out of a subway station and there's people just lying on the street. Now, some of them are drunken bums, and I have no pity for them, because if you're a drunken bum, then you must have gotten that way on your own accord.
Uh-huh.
If you're just homeless, you know, and you have kids sitting with you, and you look, you know, you don't look like you're a drug addict, and you don't look like you're an alcoholic. I mean, you're just got no place to go. You know, you can't afford to live anywhere, and these are the people that need our assistance. You know, the drunks, I mean, you know, they're there and they want to be there if, you know, that's what they're doing.
Yeah, I mean, you can't really judge them just by looking at them, and you certainly can't judge them by talking about them 60 miles away.
You certainly can. You know, there's a guy in a class I had this past summer session, and out of, I guess, 70 people in this classroom, 68 of them wanted to kick the hell out of this guy. He said that we were talking about poverty and you know, no-win jobs and dead-end jobs and stuff. And what he said was that the people who are in these dead-end jobs are of no use to society anyhow. So, I mean, it's the mentality of these people that I think also is a problem, you know, with the assistance of these people. You know, if they're worried about, well, we're taxpayers and blah, 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 blah. you know, and taxes are high, that's true, but we need to help these people out, you know. They're human beings,
exactly.
Just like we are.
Exactly. We're all human beings in the end, and taxpayer or not, you know, that doesn't make us any better than anybody else.
Yeah.
We've got to watch how we treat our fellow human beings and stop worrying so much about symbols.
Exactly. See, the only problem I have with the way this country handles it is that we're more concerned with starving people elsewhere in the world than our own. Now, that might be selfish and self-centered and all that, but I think that we should worry about the problems that we have here in this country and then worry about the problems in other countries.
Right.
I don't say just disregard them, but I think we should worry about our own.
Right. Well, I think there's a relation why we ignore the problems in our own country, because that tears down the symbol of how great a country it all is and everybody has a fair shake. You know, it's like that sometimes, but it's not always like that, and unless we fix it, it's going to get worse.
Yeah, well, I think that actually the world's view of the United States isn't as prestigious as it used to be. I mean, you know, you take a look back at the Vietnam War, you know, we went into that trying to prove, you know, that we were a great country, and we blew that. We had a couple of presidents who didn't seem to know what the hell was going on behind their own desks.
Uh-huh.
So I think that the view that the United States is supposedly the best country in the world, or, you know, the richest country in the world, I think that that is kind of fading.
It's fading because I think we're harping on it too much, you know?
That may be true.
Yeah, so if we get off that subject and just kind of look to the future and try to improve things and stop thinking how we're the best all the time, maybe then we'll get somewhere.
Yeah, or stop spending, like, billions and billions of dollars on sending metallic objects into space to see what it looks like.
Well, yeah, but I like going into space, but that's another topic entirely.
Yeah.
Okay, thanks very much for calling.
You're welcome.
And that's going to just about do it for us tonight. I really want to thank the people that started that lively discussion, because it's got me awake now at 12:02. Sorry, I'm late, aren't I?
Eric, it's okay.
Well, Brother Nick is here with looks like a machete you have this week, as he is no doubt going to talk to me about going overtime again on his program. Awfully sorry. I hope I can get out of it this time. What do you have planned for us this episode?
Well, we're going to try that machete on the air. We're going to see what that's all about.
All right. Okay. It's after midnight. We can do things like that.
Yes. Yes.
Well, Brother Nick coming up. Brother Bill coming by?
I don't believe so. Brother Bill, I think, is involved in a very heavy recording session.
Oh.
Right now. I think we have your hand on a microphone. Am I live here?
Yeah, that's
Oh, I'm sorry. Yes, he's recording something. You know, it was very interesting. I was listening before when the woman called and said you weren't American.
That was
because,
fun, wasn't it?
Because you were burning the flag. I think that makes you more of an American.
Why, thank you.
No, I'm serious.
No,
if there is going to be dogma about the United States of America, at least you're allowed to burn a flag now, if you want to.
Uh-huh. Yeah, and, you know, it's... I'm surprised the Supreme Court actually came up with that kind of verdict. And it was a close one. I think it was 5-4 or something like that.
A tight game, as it were.
It was tight, and I don't know, you know, the... you see, it's so simplistic. Yes, obviously it's a negative thing, but there's more to it than that. We have to see through the actual, you know, thing itself and,
sure.
And look at the bigger picture, should something like this be allowed. I mean, you know, I never... you won't find me participating in Klan rallies and Nazi marches and things like that, but...
thank goodness.
You have to understand, sometimes you got to allow negative things in order for the whole positive thing to continue.
Sure, sure.
And, well, in any event, enough of this current events discussion. We'll get on to
We'll get on to the pasts with the brothers.
Yes. We'll see you soon.
Yes.
Well, see me soon. I'm leaving. You're coming. So, 12:04... 18 degrees Celsius, as you all know. I'll be back again next week, I guess, right? Yeah, next week. Hope to hear from some of you then. Good night.
Dragon speaking to you from WUSB 90.1 on your FM dial. That's stereo. You hear me?
I've ordered some rain for tomorrow. The sky will be sunny but wet. And out of nowhere, you're suddenly there. And I say, yeah, pardon me, haven't we met?